So let's review. The previous Mishnah taught, Haraya kesem al basara, keneged beis hatur for tmeya, v'shalei keneged beis hatur for tahira. If a woman found a bloodstain on her flesh, it depends. If the kesem is opposite our private area, she's tummy because we assume that the dam came from there and is dam nida. If the kesem is not opposite her private area, she's tar, because we assume that the dam came from an external source and is not dam nida. And the Mishnah elaborates, Alekeva valrish gaidla tameya. If the kesem is on her heel or large toe, she's tame, because her heels are under the makar when she sits cross-legged, and her toes are below the makar when she walks. Alshaikova parsaseha mebefnim tameya, mebechutz tahira, valatzedadin mekan tahira. If the kesem is found on her leg or foot, it depends. On the inner part of each leg, facing the other leg, she is tummy. On the outside of the leg, she is tar. And on the front and back of the leg, she is tar. And the Gemara explains, Admokim chavak, v'chavak atzmai kilifnim. The inner part of the legs extends until the hollow area behind the knee where the tendons that attach the upper with the lower leg are found. The Gemara inquires, Boi Rabbi Yirmiyah, Keshir mahu, Keshur mahu, Tipin mahu, L'reichav yireichav mahu. If the kesem was found on Sheikah in an unusual shape, such as Keshir, a circle like a bracelet, or Keshur, a straight broken line, or Tipin in drops, or Reichav yireichav on the width of her thigh, is she tummy or not? This question remains unresolved. Mishnah continues, Rasa al-Chaluka, Menachagur l'mata tmeya, Menachagur l'mayla ta'ira. If the kesem is found on her garment, it depends. If the kesem was below her belt, she is tummy. If the kesem was above her belt, she is tar. Rasa beis yad shel chaluk in magiyah keneged beis hatur for tmeya v'mlav tahira. If the kesem was on her shirt sleeve, it depends as follows. If the kesem was on the lower part of the sleeve that can reach the makar, she is tummy. If the kesem was on the top part of the sleeve that cannot reach the makar, she is tar. However, the Mishnah continues. Haisa peshtasayu maskasa by balaylo kamokim shenimtza by kesem tmeya mneishu chayzer v'chem epulyus. If she removed her shirt and covered herself with it at night, a kesem in any area is tummy because the shirt moves around her body, and the same applies to a blanket or shawl. The Gemara cites a braisa. Tan Rabbanan, Arucha shalav shal chaluka shal ketzara, v'ketzara shalav shal chaluka shal arucha. If a tall woman wore the garment of a short woman, or vice versa, and the kesem was later found on the garment, it depends. If the kesem was found in an area that is below the makar, even when worn by the tall woman, both women are tame, because it could have come from either one. Then lav arucha tahira b'gitzara tamei. But if the kesem is found in an area that is below the makar only when worn by the short woman, but not when worn by the tall woman, the short woman is tame, while the tall woman is tar, because it could only have come from the short woman. The Gemara proceeds with another braisa. Badka chaluka v'shilasu l'chaver tehi tahir v'chaver tetmeya. If a woman checked her garment and there was no kesem, and then loaned it to a friend who did find the kesem, the first woman is tar, while the second woman is tame. And the Gemara qualifies. Regarding financial obligation, the second woman is not obligated to wash kesem out of the garment because she can claim that the kesem came from the first woman and was there before she got it because she can say, I do not believe that you checked it or that you checked it thoroughly. However, regarding tumah, the halacha is hi ta'ira v'chaver t'meya. We do assume that the kesem came from the second woman and therefore the first woman is tar while the second woman is tummy. The Gemara, however, points out that there is a distinction between this case of the above braisa and in the case of the following braisa. Shtei nashim shnes asku b'tzipur echad ve'im bo ele kesel adam, v'nimtze kesel alzu shtein temeis. If two women worked with a bird that had the volume of only one cell of blood, and then each woman found a cell of blood on herself, both are tummy, and one cannot associate the dam to the other because the ikka cell yisera. There are two slum of blood, since each woman found one cell of blood, but the bird certainly only provided one cell of blood. Therefore, the only way we can account for the other cell of blood is to assume that one of the women discharged dam nida. And since we cannot blame it on one woman more than on the other, we rule shtein tmeis, both are tummy. But in our case, there's only one kesem, and since the first one checked it out, we rule hi tahira v'chaver t'tmeya. The first woman is tar, while the second woman is tamei. Zak the Mishnah, v'toyla b'chalda b'shiyichayla litlis. A woman that finds a kesem can associate the dam to any external source that is applicable as follows. Shachta behema chayv oif. If she shachted an animal or bird that sprays blood, or nis'aska b'kesamim, or she yashva b'tzara sukan b'hen. She worked with blood or sat next to others that worked with blood. Or hargam achilis, if she killed a louse. Harezu taylaba, in all these cases she is tar because we associate the kesem to the external source. The Gemara infers from the Mishnah, yashva b'tzad ha'sukin behen, yashva in lo yashva loy. We say toilin only if she knows that she sat in an area of dam, but she does not know whether she had actual contact with dam. But if she does not know at all whether she sat in this area, we do not say Tylan. Similarly, the Gemara infers from the Mishnah, Harga Machailas, Harga in la Harga lai. We say Tylan only if she knows that she killed the louse, but does not know whether she had contact with its dung. But if she does not know at all whether she killed the louse, we do not say Tylan. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as identified in the Braisa. However, Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas disagrees and says, Ad kama Tylan, ad kegrishal poil v'afa pishalai Harga. Regardless of whether she did or did not knowingly kill a louse, if the dam was no more than a split bean the size of the blood of a louse, we are toiling because she might have unknowingly killed a louse. But if the dam was more than a gris, we're not toiling. The Braisa cites a third opinion. Even if the dam was more than a gris, we are toiling that she possibly killed a pishbish, a bedbug, which is larger than a louse and could be as large as a turmus, a lupine bean. The Gemara proceeds with the machlokes in the opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Atignas. Rav Huna says, "Kegris ainu taila, paches mikegris taila." Only if the kesem was smaller than the gris, we're tailin. But if the kesem was exactly a gris, we're not tailin. While Rav Chizda says, "Kegris taila, yes, mikegris ainu taila." Even if the kesem was exactly a gris, we are tailin. And only if the kesem was larger than the gris, we're not tailin. The Gemara offers two approaches in this machlokes. Rav Huna holds ad v'loyad b'chlal. The word ad means that only up to the given amount of gris is included and tar. But the given amount of gris is not included in this tummy. While Rav Chizda holds ad v'ad b'chlal. The word ad means that even the given amount of gris is included and tar. Or perhaps all agree that regarding ad b'chlal, we always go l'chumra stringently. Therefore, Rav Huna holds that regarding ksamim, we go l'chumra. And ad v'loyad b'chlal, even the smallest shear is tummy. Or Rav Chizda holds that regarding ksamim, we go l'kula because Rav Bavo says, Kol shiur chacham lahachmer, chutz mikegris shel ksam lahakel. Regarding all shiurim, we always go l'chumra. Aside for the sheer gris of ksamim, we go l'kula because even a vadi kesem is only metamid rabbanan because there was no hargasha.